I once read the story of a former president of Wheaton College who faced a dilemma at the school back in the 60s. Word and the finances had gotten back to him that some heavy-duty donors were going to start withdrawing their support if the president didn't address some issues with the student body. So the president of Wheaton College called an assembly, and he stood before a packed house. Everyone was waiting to see what he would say about this crisis brought on by this financial straitjacket. It seems as though some of those heavy donors had been visiting the campus, and they had noticed a number of the young men on campus, well, they had long hair, and some of them even had beards. And these donors were threatening to withdraw their support, as some others had already done. So the student body sat quietly and anxiously, awaiting what the administration would do. And the president of the school began to scan the student body with his eyes, and his gaze landed on a particular young man. He called him by name and told him to stand to his feet, and there he stood, long hair and beard. "Come join me on the platform," Dr. Hudson Amerding stared him down and said, "Young man, you have long hair and you have a beard, and you represent the very thing these supporters of the school are against. And I want you to know that the administration of this school does not feel as they do. We accept you and we love you." And with that, Dr. Hudson threw open his arms and embraced that young man. What a great story. And now I suppose that you are waiting for me to tell you that that's how God looks at you and me and how he accepts us. But I would be lying to you if I told you that. The truth of the matter is that we do represent and we are the very things that God is against and hates. You see, we were those who, like Ruth, were foreigners, on the outside, rejected and compromised by our own rebellion against God. We were alienated from God, strangers and hopeless without him. That was our status as Paul describes it in Ephesians chapter 2. Paul says in the letter to Titus that we were foolish, disobedient, led astray, and slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. But God never says, "But none of that matters. I accept you just like you are. Stay the way you are." No. What God says is, "I'm going to become like you so you can become like me. I'm going to send my greatest treasure in all of heaven, and he will live the life you cannot live, the perfect life, perfect in every word, every thought, every deed, every attitude, every motive, every ambition. He will be what you were created to be, but can never be. And not only that, I'm going to hold him up as a perfect sacrifice. He will willingly take the place of the rebel, the disobedient, the sinner. He will take the punishment they deserve, and he will give to them his righteousness and a new status, a new identity." And God says to us, "I don't accept you as you are, but I do accept the work of Christ. And if you are in him through faith, then I accept you as you are in Christ. Righteous, saved, holy, and pure. And because of that good news, we can walk with Jesus day by day." So today, please pray for Michael and Ruth Poirier, our missionaries in Canada. And also remember the Ware Ware Life Word broadcast that's heard in the Philippines.